In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports. Not 610 Sports Radio. We need a jar every time I say 610 Sports Radio. Like, I need to donate $1. And then at the end of the year, we donate that money to charity. It's muscle memory at this point. I'm so used to saying it. I've been saying it for years now. And then all of a sudden, you just switch up on me.
To be fair, I answered the phone earlier. We had a caller earlier. I said 610 Sports. And I looked. I said, nope. That's wrong. He's like, wait, where am I calling? I'm like, don't worry. I got there.
People ask me where I work, and I'd be like, 96.5, like, oh, the Buzz. Nah, I don't work there. I don't know what to tell you. I have no control over. I just did what they told me to do. No, you were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrot. Happy to be here. Rob is here as well. We have so much baseball, so much college football, so much NFL to talk about. Let's start with the Kansas City Royals. They lost Vinny Pascantino yesterday to a thumb injury. He is going to be out for the next 6 to 8 weeks. Now, I am not here to play Chicken Little and tell you that the sky is falling, but I do think that we need to have a proper conversation about what this means for the Kansas City Royals down the stretch. He is one of their most important and productive players. The Royals, if you were very optimistic about the Royals on Tuesday, you were optimistic for two major reasons. You felt good about their rotation and their ability to match up against any team in the American League. You also felt with Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby Witt Jr. that the middle of your lineup was solid. And if you could get contributions from some of the other guys, you were going to be in a position where you could score enough runs. The Royals have their flaws. Offensively has never been one of them this season. This team had three of the better run producers in the American League. You have three guys in the heart of your order that were going to hit between 20 and 25 home runs, more for Bobby Witt Jr., and we're going to drive in 100 runs. You were the only team in the American League that had three guys that had over 90 RBIs, and we're going to have over 100 RBIs. I think the best comparison to this would be, and I know it's a little bit different with the cross-sport comparison, is, Rob, you and I watch a lot of NBA, watch a lot of basketball. Your third leading scorer got hurt today. So sure, you still have Jason Tatum. You still have Jaylen Brown. You just lost Jrue Holiday for the rest of the season. You just lost Derek White for the rest of the season. So you can still win with those first two guys. They're great. They're all pro players. But you really start to realize how important Derek White is and the little things that he does for your offense. You notice that Drew Holiday is the best on-ball defender in the league and how much pressure he takes off of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and who they need to guard because you have him. You cannot undersell the importance of Vinny Pascantino and what he means to this team, not just from a morale energy standpoint, but what he means for this team offensively. Since the All-Star break, Vinny Pascantino is hitting .296, has an on-base percentage of .325, and is slugging .497. He has 8 doubles, 8 home runs, and 35 RBIs. He is one of your best and most consistent run producers game in and game out. And you pluck that guy out of the lineup, and you don't have a viable solution on how to replace that individual. There is not an obvious fix. You're going to have to patch this thing together. You're going to need a little bit more contribution from the guys. There is no savior coming for this team. This did not happen in June with the trade deadline where the Royals could prepare for this happening. No, in the middle of your stretch run and the middle of your most important time of the season, one of your 5 most important players got injured. That's big for this team. I don't want to make it sound all doom and gloom. The Royals are 1.5 games back in the division, and they still have a 2-game lead over Minnesota and a 5.5 game lead over the Boston Red Sox. So you still control your own destiny. You were still in the driver's seat. They play 9 games over the next 10 days. 6 of those games are against teams that are either ahead of them in the division in Cleveland, or they are directly ahead of in the wild card picture of Minnesota. So if the Royals can just get out of Houston with 2 wins and they can come back to Kansas City and win 4 out of their 6 home games and win both of those series, the Royals will be in an ideal spot. Vegas has not shifted their odds on the Royals. They still are about 2-1 to win the division. They are minus 400 to make the playoffs, so a substantial favorite to make the postseason. And right now, if you think the Royals have a collapse and they outright miss the postseason, they are 6-1 to do so. So for those of you that don't gamble, if you put down $20 on the Royals to miss the postseason, when you go back to collect your money, you will have $140 back if they miss the postseason. So Vegas is telling you they think the Royals are going to be able to manage over the course of the next 3 weeks. They're going to have to. It is now go time. There's no crying over spilled milk. You look at Arizona. They're missing one of their better defensive players. They have an important series against the Dodgers. They're right behind them in the standings. The Royals are finally taking on a little bit of water with the injuries. You have a couple of guys in your bullpen who were banged up with Harvey and Urseg. Urseg went down yesterday. He's day-to-day. So over the course of the last 24 hours, you have lost your best relief pitcher and one of your most important offensive weapons have come up injured in the last day or so. That is not good. We will see how you manage this. And in order to do something great, you usually have to overcome some sense of adversity. That's just how it is. Somebody gets injured. A mistake happens. Something goes wrong. You have to figure it out at some point. This is the portion of the season for the Royals where you have to figure things out and you got to just hold on and figure out a way to scratch across the finish line and make it there. You can still make the postseason even with this injury. There are enough pieces there with Freddie Fermin, with Paul DeJong. You can scrape this thing across for 3 weeks and make the postseason without Vinny Pascantino. Let's see if they can do it. We'll get back to the Royals in a bit, but I do want to get to the hits and some of the other top stories in sports in Kansas City. There's a lot going on right now. Missouri started their season yesterday. Kansas started their season yesterday. We are less than a week away from the start of Chiefs season. K-State starts tomorrow. Sporting played this week. There's so much happening right now in the world of sports. We're happy that you were here with us on 96.5 The Fan. Hit it, Rob.
It's 5 o'clock, and your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C-Dot and Rob. This is The Hits. Number 1.
Carrington, let's start with college football as both KU and Missouri were on the field last night, absolutely giving the beats respectively to Lindenwood and Murray State. I would imagine most average fans think, ho-hum, they beat an FCS opponent, but you watched almost every snap of that Missouri game, and you were locked into Kansas as well. What did you
learn?
Locked
into what? Who'd you say I was locked into?
What did you learn, if anything, from the two local schools in their game week one game against FCS opponents?
Can you say the music down real quick? Because I want people to hear me, and I want them to hear me good. I want you to hear me, Crystal. I want you to hear me in FM and HD. I want you, if you're listening on the podcast, I want you to hear me say this, and I want you to rewind it 15 seconds and hear me say it again. KU, I have no interest watching you play D2 schools in basketball or football. K-State, I'm making plans to go to the game against Oklahoma State. I'm here for you guys making a run to the postseason. You guys do not have me watching UT Martin. You don't. You know what I refuse to do? I refuse to turn off Texas A&M Notre Dame to watch you guys play UT Martin. I'm not doing it. I barely wanted to do it for my own team. I did it. But I'm not doing it for your team. We'll have somebody on that did watch it. That person will not be me. I don't even know what channel KU was on yesterday. Were they on regular TV? Missouri was on SEC Network. Was your team on regular TV yesterday?
They're on the Big 12 now, ESPN
no,
Plus.
So no, the answer is no. You thought I was logging into the app to watch KU play Lindenwood? No, thanks. Nope. I'm okay. You got it. We'll be back next week. I mean, K-State plays real games. They play Arizona in a couple of weeks. I might go to that game. KU, you guys play Illinois next week. I'm locked in to watch you guys play Illinois. I ain't watching you play Lindenwood. Rob, you did watch KU play Lindenwood. Can you give us a report?
Jalen Daniels played and is still healthy. So that's, those are the positives. Other than that, they played a D2 school.
That's it. You watched all of that and that's the report that you have for us? You don't have no other report?
I mean, it is hard to delve in too much to what they did to Lindenwood.
I wanted an in-depth breakdown of KU Lindenwood
Devin Neal went 8-for-112. Pretty good yards per carry, by the way, for those who love that stat, with two touchdowns. And then at halftime, they're like, take the pads off, young man, it's over. They treated Lindenwood like the Chiefs treated the Jaguars game. Hey, we're going to get some run in with the starters, and then we're done. Maybe they treat it more like the second preseason game than the first one. But it was play for a half. Let's all hang out on the sideline. Let's hang out. Let's, you know, smile. Our teammates are now playing. It's all gravy, but it was very much a preseason feel to that game with the starters playing for 30 minutes of football time.
I will give you exactly 60 seconds of Missouri thoughts before we move on to hit number two. I think there is a chance that this is the most talented Missouri team that we have ever seen. Yesterday, almost every move that they made in the portal worked yesterday. They lost Cody Schrader. They had to completely revamp the run game. They look like they can run the ball very effectively. Their entire right side of the offensive line is back, and they got the best available left tackle in the portal in Caden Green. On defense, every piece that they added defensively over the last 4 months made a significant play yesterday to help them win. I know it's Murray State. Murray State ran one play on Missouri's side of the field yesterday, and they averaged 3.1 yards per play yesterday. Missouri's defense was really good, and I think we all know this. You can be the biggest Missouri hater ever. They are going to score a lot of points this season because they have one of the best wide receivers in the country. They have one of the best wide receiver rooms in the country, and their offense is predicated on getting the ball in space and letting playmakers make plays, and they are going to make a lot of them this season. They were up 21-0 in the first 4 minutes of the game. They scored two offensive touchdowns and then had a pick six. And the pick six was forced by the defensive lineman that they got from Miami who transferred to Missouri. He forced the quarterback to throw it early, and the transfer from Clemson caught it and ran it back for a touchdown. They are going to be very, very good this season. Now, we will not know anything about Missouri until they travel to A&M in the early part of October, but the early returns were they looked really, really good yesterday.
Number two.
Speaking of college football, yesterday the game both me and you were actually locked into, which was on the four-letter network, Big ESPN, Colorado. Colorado got a win to start the season, and Coach Prime beat North Dakota State 36-21 with incredible performances from Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter. But Carrington, we were sold that this year's Colorado is different than last year's, but you and I both noticed watching the FCS team take on the Buffs, the more things change, the more they feel the same for Colorado.
Do you remember that scene in The Wire where the dope was weak for them and they were asking for ideas of how to change it? And the idea that they came up with was to change the cap from red to blue and call it a different name. That's what Colorado has done. It is packaged differently than last year. The same problems exist for Colorado. I tell you guys this every year. Football is simple. Can you control the line of scrimmage? Can you run the ball? Can you protect your quarterback? Can you get to the other team's quarterback and stop them from running the football? If you can do that, that is the foundation of you being a very good team. Now, talent will eventually win out, and you have to be able to do some of the other things. Colorado has a lot of shiny parts. They have a very talented quarterback that could be the number one quarterback taken and could be the number one overall pick. Travis Hunter is going to be a top 10 pick in next year's NFL draft. He is one of the most interesting NFL draft prospects that we have ever discussed. They can't block. They can't tackle. They can't stop the run. They can't run the ball themselves. That is a problem. If you were going to compete against Arizona and K-State and Utah and Kansas and Oklahoma State, that was a repackaged 4-8 football team. Well, what do you know? That's exactly what they were last year. They are different, yet the same.
Number three.
Well, Carrington, we mentioned at the top of the show and the top of the 5 o'clock hour, the Royals will be without their first baseman likely for the rest of the season. Vinny Pasquantino last night on a play at first got hit and now we know has a broken thumb and is out 6 to 8 weeks. And despite the text line telling him to suck it up, it is unlikely that he will play again this season. So looking at the Royals lineup, what are some possible solutions to the Vinny problem? Would you like to see more DeJong? Who's your first baseman? And if you were Matt Quatrero, what's your plan to try to push this thing through to the playoffs without Mr. RBI, Vinny Pasquantino?
Well, I think the plan is going to be that Salvador Perez is going to play first base for this team. And I would say as of now, he's probably your primary first baseman. I think you're going to use Freddie Fermin a lot, and he's going to be your catcher to kind of get you through and try to put that bat into the lineup. I also think that you're going to see a lot more Paul DeJong. I think the analogy, to kind of keep the basketball analogy from earlier, and this is losing your third best player, I think what you were going to see is you lost a guy who averages around 22 points per game, and they're going to try to put a piece of this thing together with one guy that averages 12 and one guy that averages 10. I think most people would rather have the 22 points per game score, but in order for them to do this, they're going to have to try to piece this thing together. They're going to have to get the version of Paul DeJong that they've gotten so far. They're going to need that to continue over the course of the next 3 weeks. You're going to need Freddie Fermin to be really good for this team. You're going to need MJ Melendez to pick things up a little bit. You are going to need a little bit more than you've gotten from everybody. You have taken your four hitter out of the lineup, and you don't have the heir apparent, so to speak. You don't have the logical choice for all of those at-bats. The answer is they just don't have that individual. And again, you're just going to have to get that production from a lot of different pieces. I think the positive of this is I don't know if the Royals could do that for 6 months if they had to. If this injury had happened in May, they'd be in a lot of trouble. But this injury didn't happen in May. It happened at the very beginning of September. Can you do this for 1 month? Can you hold on and play 500 baseball for a month? If the Royals can do that, they will make the postseason. You don't need the Royals to do anything special at this point. You've done all of the hard work and all of the heavy lifting. You did that the first 4 or 5 months of the season. You just got to hold on for one more month. You have to play 500 baseball from now until the end of the season. If you do that, it will cap off one of the most successful turnarounds in baseball history, and your manager is going to win Manager of the Year, and you will be applauded and celebrated for what you did. I still think that's possible with this team. I still expect it to happen. I think this team is making the postseason. Now, I've wavered on them winning the division. I think that's going to be tough down the stretch in order to outgun Cleveland and Minnesota to win the division. So right now, I don't think they are going to win the division. You are 5.5 games up in the wild card race with less than 30 to go. Don't fall apart now. I know there's a lot of adversity right now. Urseg is banged up. Vinny's out. Hunter Harvey is out. Stay the course. Can you do that? You have played well against Cleveland. Can you, you played well early in the season against Houston. I know that was a long time ago now. All you got to do is tread water against Houston and take care of your business. The mission has not changed. The pieces have changed, but the mission for the Royals is the exact same. We all know what the pathway for the Royals to make the postseason is. Are they going to be able to go out and execute, Rob?
I would also say, if you are a glass half full type of person and you believe, hey, the Royals can hold on. I know they lost a good player, but they have enough talent. They're in the driver's seat to make the postseason still. If you are a glass half full person, you're probably looking at, once you're through what Vern has referred to as the riptide, boy, does the schedule ease up. In about 10 days, it goes from Yankees, Guardians, Twins. It goes to Pirates, Tigers. There's some Nationals in there. It definitely looks more doable. If you're a glass half full person, you're thinking to yourself, hey, tread water without Vinny through this tough stretch, gobble up wins in that easy stretch, and you're in the postseason, and then it's house money. No one expected you to make it. The detractors have been saying you wouldn't make it for a whole year, but if you make it, party on, Wayne. I think that's what a glass half full person is saying right now about the Royals. I also think the glass half empty person has a little bit of a leg to stand on right now in the fact that they're only a little short of the halfway mark of the toughest stretch of baseball they have, and they now have 12 more games against the Astros, Guardians, Twins, and Yankees, and they're going into those games without one of their big weapons. And they're going to have to do a Paul DeJong, who's been a good signing, but he's been a good signing in the fact that he's a nice fourth offensive piece. You weren't asking him to be Mr. RBI. You're now going to be asking more out of your all-world player in Bobby Witt. You're going to be asking more out of Salvador Perez. And if you have to rely heavier and heavier on those guys, can you sustain at a time of the year where the starting pitching is starting to show some cracks in the foundation? If you're a glass half empty person, you're looking at the next 12 and saying that undoes it. If you're a glass half full person, I bet you're thinking get through the 12 and you'll be okay. And I think both people are kind of right because the schedule is really interesting for the Royals going down the stretch now without Vinny.
The Royals in the span of 4 days had the best day that they've had in a long time, and also simultaneously the worst day that they have had in a long time. I'm a big believer that the truth is usually somewhere in the middle. It's usually not as good as you think it's going to be. It's also not as bad as you think it's going to be either. It's usually somewhere in the middle. They swept a doubleheader against Cleveland and took 3 out of 4 from that team, and you were riding high. 1 day later, you lose Lucas Urseg for an unknown period of time, and you lose Vinny Pasquantino for the remainder of the season. Sports, kind of like life, are usually about how you overcome adversity and the things that go wrong and how you respond to them. So in some ways, I'm not certainly happy that Vinny Pasquantino is injured. I am very intrigued to see how the Royals respond to this. For the most part, the season has gone pretty well for the Royals. They have avoided pretty major injuries for the most part of this season, but these things eventually happen. You don't have Chris Jones for a postseason game. Your quarterback goes into the last game of the season with a bum ankle and he has to gut it through. These champions have to overcome these things to be champions. So if you want to be the champion of the American League Central, and I understand that is on a smaller scale than my analogy is, if you want to be champions, you usually have to overcome something. We now know what the Royals have to overcome. Their two best bullpen guys right now are banged up, and we don't know when they're coming back, and one of their most important offensive players is out for the remainder of the season. Can this team stay the course? Do they have enough depth? Do they have the next man up mentality? Can the manager keep this team together and keep them on the right path? I know what the mentality is going to be. Well, I'm just happy they're at this point. No, I've been past that point for a long time. And regardless of what is happening, you have a 5.5 game lead heading into the final month of the season with less than 30 games to go. No one is saying that the Royals need to go out there and be the best team in baseball. What we've asked for the Royals to do at major parts of the season has been to tread water and then take advantage when the schedule is advantageous. This is the tread water part of things. Can you continue to do that? Can you beat Cleveland? Can you beat Minnesota? Can you possibly go on the road and win that series against the New York Yankees? If you do that, you will make the postseason. The checklist for the Royals is very simple from now until the end of the season. It is very, very simple. It is very, very straightforward. Every win matters. Every loss matters. Every win puts you that much closer to having this thing wrapped up. And every loss at this point puts your playoff position in peril. You can lose this thing. The same way that you made up so much ground on Cleveland in a short period of time, Boston can do that same thing to you. Seattle can do that same thing to you. You have not clinched anything yet. You were just simply the favorite to do those things. You still got to execute. You still got to take care of business down the stretch. I trust that this team is going to be able to do so. Every time that we have counted the Royals out this season at various points, they have always come up with a solution. They just got to do that one more time. I want to play the best of Vern from earlier today. I want you guys to hear what he had to say in reaction to Vinny Pascantino, who is out for the remainder of the regular season. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. Earlier today, we had our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, on the show. I want you guys to hear what he had to say about Vinny Pasquantino's injury as he is out for the rest of the regular season. Our conversation was very simple. It started with, what does this mean for the Royals as they are in the middle of their playoff push?
Well, it means you lose your number three hitter, a guy that ranks top five in baseball in runs batted in, ranks second in all of Major League Baseball with a .360 batting average with runners in scoring position, second only to Bobby Witt Jr. OPS with two outs and men in scoring position. Vinny ranks sixth in Major League Baseball, and the five guys in front of him are all Hall of Famers. I mean, it's Juan Soto, it's Jose Ramirez, it's Salvador Perez. It's the biggest names in Major League Baseball. That's what you're losing offensively. Now, defensively, sure. Salvi can jump in there at first base, and Freddie Fermin can jump in there behind the dish. But to lose your three hitter for a team that is so very tied to Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi doing most of, if not all, of the heavy lifting, to lose that guy has many ripple effects. First of all, how long does it take this team to find their new roles? Because almost everyone, maybe outside of Bobby Witt Jr., has a new role now in the lineup, on the team, maybe even in the clubhouse. And then how many players, bats, is it going to take to replace Vinny's type of offensive production? Because they're struggling to replace the offensive production of Hunter Renfro. You throw Vinny Pasquantino in there, not to mention you already have your second-best reliever, right? Hunter Harvey's on the IL. Another guy that you brought in at the deadline, and Michael Lorenzen's on the IL. Lucas Ursek gets banged up last night, so it's just little knocks here and there, and then a big tree fall when Vinny goes down last night. I'll tell you this. Last night was the first time I dove deep into the wild card standings. You know, for as focused as I've been on Cleveland, the loss of Vinny and the injuries that are already present now have me wondering, can they hang on down the stretch and hold off the Boston Red Sox? I believe that they certainly have the ability to do it, but it's on my radar now.
Vern, what have you heard about Lucas Ursek? What's the timetable? I haven't seen a whole lot of information. You're plugged in. What are you hearing about him?
Well, Joel Goldberg just tweeted, Joel Goldberg of Bally Sports Kansas City, that Ursek's day-to-day has swelling and soreness in the hand and says that he hopes to be back very soon. So that's good news. The fact that he's not on the IL already is good news. So hopefully he's back for the home opener against the Guardians coming up on Monday. Hopefully Hunter Renfro's back because, the idea of not having Ursek either at the back end of the bullpen just continues to put more and more weight on this rotation. And we've seen this rotation start to not fully crack. They're still good. It's still one of the better rotations in all of baseball. But the team, injuries, just keep piling pressure on the backs of these guys. And you know, maybe some of my disappointment also comes from the fact that I just don't really care for the style of baseball this team's been playing of late. 9 errors in the Riptide so far. 8 games in, you're making 9 errors. Your base running mistakes. Every position in the outfield has misread a ball, and that's led to runs. So this team's got a lot to clean up right now. So to lose a guy like Vinny, to have Ursek banged up, while the things you do great are not being executed at a high level, yeah, that's maybe why I'm more concerned than others.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, on the show. Vern, are you more worried about the defense or the bullpen right now?
Bullpen. Yeah, bullpen. Without question. The defense, yeah, I know Bobby's good. I know Renfro's going to be back soon, so hopefully right field is improved. But without Lucas Ursek tonight, Hunter Harvey still on the IL, boy, you're looking at Seth Lugo saying, hey, man, I need another one of those classic 7-strong innings out of Lugo. That seems unfair to ask with what we've seen from him of late. Now, he hasn't been bad. I'm not trying to say that Seth Lugo's been bad. He's been good. He just was great earlier this season. You could even make a case he's been very good in the month of August. I think his numbers are somewhat deceiving, but this team got to where they're at by Seth Lugo being a Cy Young Award candidate, and boy, do they need that tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. I guess maybe the thing that I'm maybe the most down on is I really question if that's still there for this team. It is just – It has very rarely popped up, and when you just look at – you always tell me to look at the back of the baseball card. Like, we are at a point in his career that he has never been at deep into the season, pitching more innings than ever before, being counted on more than before. There's a lot of things I'm confident in or that this team can bounce back and overcome. It feels odd to go into the most important stretch saying that you don't know about one of their all-stars, but that's where I am right now with Seth Lugo. I know what I'm going to get from Cole Reagans. I know what I'm going to get from Brady Singer and Michael Wacha. I just don't know right now with Seth Lugo.
See, that's interesting because to me, I mean, Waka's the only one really with a track record. DeJong, Salvi, Hunter Renfrow, Adam Frazier. I mean, there are a lot of guys that are swimming into uncharted waters right now. Vinny was one of them, and I think it was written all over his face last night as he's coming out in that panic, realizing, boy, something's broke here, and my childhood dream of playing in the postseason might be ripped from me. I thought that was just so abundantly clear on the, you know, crestfallen face of the big first baseman.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier, here for a couple of more days. You've called this the riptide. I've made the analogy to, you know, when we watch election coverage and, you know, you need these votes from these kind of states. The thing that I've kind of held my head up on is, at least in terms of the American League. Now, you mentioned they've got the Yankees coming up. You've got those teams. I mean, this team, we are going to have a lot of our answers with this team coming up in the next 10 days. I think they need to split this series against Houston. You've got Cleveland. You've got Minnesota. Like, this team can still be okay. In my opinion.
Yeah, to me, it's just about holding on from here on out. Just hold on, because every team in the American League is flawed, or at least the teams that you're battling right now, even in the division, they're all flawed. Boston's flawed, Minnesota, Cleveland, Seattle, if they end up getting back into it. Yeah, these teams are all flawed, and now the Royals are more flawed with the loss of Vinny Pasquantino. But yeah, I 27 games to play, that to me is just too much baseball to act as if this stretch will tell us everything that we need to know. Now maybe the entire stretch, this entire, you know, how many games do we have left? 12 games, right? 12 games remaining in the Riptide. You know, maybe at the end of that, Boston falls out of it. You know, maybe something happens to their roster where they fall out of the race. But now, again, until I see Hunter Harvey back, until you get a Hunter Renfrow back and the good Hunter Renfrow back, man, until game 162 seed out, I'm just holding on tight. You know, I had someone mention last night, hey, just go, you know, three games below 500 here, and you know what Boston would have to do. Man, I'd sign off on 12-15 right now. 12-15 down the stretch, give this team 87 wins, I would sign off on that right now. I don't know if I would have said that 48 hours ago. It's just hold on to your butts, because this thing's probably going to get very bumpy.
That was our guy, Josh Vernier. You're going to hear him again coming up in 20 minutes as we get you ready for some Royals baseball tonight. They are once again in Houston to take on the Astros. Coming up on the other side, Rob and I will tell you what games in college football we are most excited about this weekend. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I am very excited about the return of college football. We have a handful of about six games tomorrow in college football that have certainly piqued my interest. I am most looking forward to Notre Dame and Texas A&M tomorrow. Every year, Notre Dame has to sort of prove to us that they are good. And this season, let's say that they lose tomorrow to Texas A&M. They have one of the weakest schedules for any major college football team. They have three true road games this year. One of them is tomorrow against Texas A&M. Another one is September 14th against Purdue. They do not play another true road game until November 30th against USC. So if they lose tomorrow, they could be in the same spot that Notre Dame has basically been in our entire lives. They are going to win 10 or 11 games. None of us are going to know how good they are. They're going to play a good team in the college football playoff, probably on the road, and get smoked in the process. Now, maybe that still happens anyway, but if you go on the road and you win at A&M and you win a night game in that environment, I got to tip my cap to you. Maybe A&M is a little bit overvalued and not deserving of the number by their name, but that's a difficult spot to be in. On the road at night, one of the more difficult places in the country to play in from a crowd noise standpoint, I think it's a really, really tough spot. And under Marcus Freeman, their new head coach, who's taken over since Brian Kelly, it will be the biggest win that they have had so far since he's there. So that's the game that I am most looking forward to this weekend. There's obviously a couple others, but if you're saying I could only watch one game this weekend, that's the one I would pick, Notre Dame and Texas A&M.
I'm really excited for that game. I think Notre Dame's going to win. I think Notre Dame has the better quarterback. I'm not sold on Wegman for A&M. Riley Leonard's a veteran. I also think you mentioned the Notre Dame, you know, is going to play an easy schedule after this. They're going to make the playoff and lose. It's no one wants to go out of their way to credit Notre Dame because they're annoying and their fan base is annoying. But I will credit Notre Dame a little bit. The last handful of years, you know what they've been doing because they know the stigma is they can't keep up with the big boys in the playoff? They've been scheduling the big boys in non-con. Remember, last year they had Ohio State at home. The year before that, they're at Ohio State. They now have a home and home with A&M. Like, they are at, I think they had Texas recently too. They are adding the biggest names in college football to their schedule. The intent of, hey, we know we're in the ACC. We know that we can't make the playoff as a conference champion. Let's add some value games. So I'm interested to see who they are, but I also want to credit them for at least trying to add massive games in the early season.
So that's probably the game on the high end that I'm really excited about. Let me give you a game a little bit on the lower end that I'm really excited about tomorrow. I think that South Dakota, I think they could give Oklahoma State really all they can handle tomorrow. So South Dakota State, they go on the road to play Oklahoma State. South Dakota State, they have lost one game the last 2 years. They lost on the road to Iowa in a season opening game 2 years ago. They have won the FCS championship in the last two seasons. They are one of the best programs in college football. I don't care what level they play at. That's a really difficult game and not one I would want to schedule. I don't know the benefit if you're Oklahoma State and why you would schedule that game. It's one thing for you to play Maryland or a team from a power conference where, hey, that's a Big Ten team. We're playing another known team. I don't know why you would play South Dakota State. I just don't know what the benefits are. It hurts you way more than it helps you if you're Oklahoma State to play those games. You certainly don't feel bad as a team if you lose those games, but just the stigma of losing to an FCS team, it hurts you for the playoff chances. I don't really get why they're playing this game. Again, I'm not really sure why it helps them, but I think South Dakota State can give them everything that they can handle. I like that to be one of the more intriguing games of the day.
From a playoff perspective, I agree, but how much of that stigma is still there for programs like North Dakota State and South Dakota State? Like, if Colorado had lost last night, and I understand they won, but if they had lost last night, what's the stigma? Those are the best teams in the FCS, and I think we now know, having watched FCS football enough, man, the top of the creme de la creme at the lower level can absolutely compete on a one-game basis at this level. So I don't know there's a stigma anymore. For the playoff, you're out. You're done if you lose South Dakota State. But I think that stigma is mostly evaporating, and I know that using the gambling line is an imperfect science, but 9.5 points against a lower level team, I think, shows that most people understand this is not like playing Lindenwood, Murray State, or UT Martin. This is a different animal.
100%. But to the playoff point, if you're Oklahoma State and you're probably one of 20 teams that have real playoff expectations, beating that team doesn't help you. It only hurts you in that conversation. That's why I wouldn't do it. Now, there's some other games. Like, if you're Penn State, for example, and you go on the road and you lose to West Virginia, not ideal. You cut into some of your margin of error that you have, but no one is going to fault you for going on the road and losing to a Big 12 team. If I was a college football coach, I would just try to schedule more of those games. I don't want anything to do with North Dakota State or South Dakota State. They've proven it too many times at this level. I don't want nothing to do with them.
Or you got to find MAC schools that you think you can gobble up wins against, where you're still, hey, you're playing a FBS team, so there's less stigma to your point, but you can go get a W. Like, who did Michigan play last year? They put it on Hawaii.
Yeah.
Hawaii had no chance against Michigan, but you know what? Hawaii's probably worse than South Dakota State, but you can still get the idea of, we don't have any FCS teams on our schedule, and you get to dominate a team the same way.
Someone on the text line said, I'm really looking forward to watching Michigan to see what their transformation looks like. I am not watching Michigan tomorrow. I will watch them next week. They play Texas. I don't need to watch you play Fresno State. I'll see your real game when everybody else watches you. Texas, Michigan, next Saturday, right after Big Noon kick on Fox. Fox deserves a lot of credit for how they move their college football schedule around and doing those games at 11. Now, I hate those 11 a.m. kicks, but you now created a window. You remember the 11 o'clock game used to always be Maryland against Iowa. Terrible games. Fox adjusting it, creating a show like College Game Day, and then putting a marquee game right after it was a smart idea by Fox to enter the college football conversation. They got Texas and Michigan tomorrow or next Saturday at 11 o'clock. That's a big time game. We're going to sign off for the day. We'll be back on Tuesday after the holiday, and it is go time. It is week one of the NFL season. We are excited here at 610 Sports Radio. We're working on adding a video component to the show. I know the midday show has it. I think we are going to have that starting Tuesday as well. We are excited here at 96.5 The Fan. Hopefully you are as well. I'll catch you guys on Tuesday. Until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.